We read before, and Brother Martin read this, what Jesus says. The disciples were asking, will you at this time restore Israel again to its glory, previous glory? Restoring means to bring back to its previous glory. And he said something that many people today overlook. And it's very important. Even many Christians overlook this. He said, it is not for you to know the times and the periods, my translation said epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. It is not for us to know the times. Interesting, isn't it? So many want to prophesy and they want to set dates and times, and Jesus says, no, it's not for you to know. That's not the important issue. The important issue is not that we know what is coming at this and this date and what is coming next year or what is coming. That's not important, he says. What is important is that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. That, he says, is important. That you shall know. Is this verse for us today? Is this for you and for me? Many people believe, even Christians, that the power of the Holy Spirit, this experience the apostles had in Acts chapter 2, that was only a one-time thing, only a one-time in history thing that will never, ever happen again. God gave the apostles the Holy Spirit and the rest is history. We just kind of go by what we can and what we cannot receive. No. I believe that you and I have this promise today. After we have received the Holy Spirit, that we can be witnesses, not of our own, not for our church, not for our organization, but for Christ. It's not just witnessing, it says being a witness for Christ and unto Christ. We become his witnesses. He wants us to be dependable, reliable, and willing to follow his command without doubting and without questioning. You see, I believe that God's love is conditional. He loved us so much that he gave us his only begotten Son. Unconditional love would be that he would never expect anything of us. That's unconditional love, not expecting anything back. But God does expect something from us for his great love that he has for us. He expects us to love him back and to give him our worship and our devotion. And the same is true in regards to witnessing. The Lord expects us to become witnesses unto him after he has given us the great gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the first promise here is you will receive power. Everybody wants power. People are very power hungry. Why do you think people run for high offices in countries and governments? It's mostly for power. They want to have this superiority, somehow this power. Money is power, they say. buying power, credit power, whatever powers there are. But the word power here in this text is translated from the Greek word dynamis, which is actually a root word for dynamite. That the power of the Spirit of God will come over you, that means that He will illuminate everything that is dark in your life, that He will open your eyes, and He will give you a believing heart. That is power. It's the same power that rose Jesus up from the dead. Jesus up from the dead. This is the power that is promised to those that wait upon the Lord like the apostles do. And believe me, I believe with all my heart that this Pentecost experience, what the apostles heard here and the promise that was given to them, I think that was only the beginning. That was not the end of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the question is, power to do what? If God gives us power, it's for a specific purpose. The power for the disciples was given to them to preach the word of God and to perform signs and miracles as a testimony to the power and authority of God's saving gospel and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was the power. You say, well, can't we learn to preach the word of God? Can't we take courses and go to seminary and learn to preach and find out? Yes, that's all good, but I could have 3 PhDs and know everything about the Bible, could know Hebrew fluently and Greek fluently and every word and could explain everything. But if I don't have the power, the authority to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's all empty. It's meaningless. And that was Jesus' point here, the power to speak the word of God. The power to understand the word of God. It takes power to speak it. It takes power to understand. It takes power of the Holy Spirit to illuminate our minds and our hearts that we not only understand with our heads, but that we understand with our hearts. That is power. But also power to experience God in a fuller way than ever before. And I would like to suggest, and strongly suggest, that you and I seek experiences with God. Not only that we pray every day, but we should make it a heart prayer. Lord, draw nigh to me. Let me experience your presence so that I receive more power, because there's a lot of weak Christianity and we're tired of that weakness, right? We're tired of being tired in our Christian faith, right? We need power, fresh power. And look at this. In order to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, the way that God wants it, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. No one that has the power of the Holy Spirit doesn't also have an intimate relationship with the Lord. He does, or she does that too. An intimate relationship with the Lord is that we sense His voice, we know His will, we discern His will from all the noise of this world. But then there's another power that the Holy Spirit gives to the world at large, in the sense that Jesus said that He would convict the world of sin. That's the Holy Spirit work. The power to repent is very important because that's the key to revival. That's the key in becoming a witness, is first that we repent. And in John chapter 1, it says that he came into his own and his own did not receive him. But those who received him, to them he gave dynamis. He gave power to become children of God. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's his will today, that all would repent and all souls would come to the knowledge of truth. Jesus did his miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. One miracle after another to glorify the Father. You see, we don't have this power on our own. And don't tell me that after you have become a child of God, you cannot receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit anymore. That's not true. God has way more than that. The disciples, when they waited and prayed in Jerusalem, do you think that they had not repented yet of their sins? Do you think they were not ready to receive the Holy Spirit? They were clean vessels. Sin cannot live in the heart together with the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. Sin has to go out first. And then the Holy Spirit wants to dwell in us completely and empower us to become witnesses. How can you be a witness to Christ if sin lives in your heart? That's contradictory. Sin has to go. The Holy Spirit will never live in the same heart where sin also dwells. And this idea that you can be a sinner and you can sin every day and the Holy Spirit still living in you is not scriptural. That's not what Jesus says. It's actually degrading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Spirit is holy, and if he lives in your heart, you will live a godly life. And if you don't live a godly life, don't profess to have the Holy Spirit. But how do we get this power? How do we become powerful witnesses unto Christ? The first thing is prayer. And I love it when in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, the Bible says, after they had prayed, the Holy Spirit filled the room where the apostles were praying. The Holy Spirit was so present. They must have been in awe. But you know, the presence of the Holy Spirit is not something uncomfortable. It's not something to be afraid of. And it's not something that you need to be afraid of. Well, if I pray too long, then the Holy Spirit would come and he would be present and he sees everything and I'd be scared. No. This is why we don't, like the old translation says, the Holy Ghost. I mean, ghost is kind of something that children have learned to be afraid of. No, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of peace and of freedom and of love. And of comfort. And you feel this incredible peace when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You have this power. All fear is gone. How do you receive this power? In many instances in the Bible, we read that they were laying on hands that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. In Acts chapter 19, verse 6, just read that chapter at home very carefully, if you will. Acts chapter 19 from verse 1. There were the disciples at Ephesus. And Paul met these disciples. These were believers. They were saved. But he asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit after you were saved? And they said, no, we didn't know that there is a Holy Spirit. We didn't know that God has this for his children. And then it says, when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. So laying on of hands, it has its place. Although the Bible warns not to be too quick in laying on of hands, because many people misuse it even nowadays. But then the main aspect is to receive this power is to obey God. If you and I want to be witnesses for Christ, we want to be used to evangelize the world, make sure that you obey the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit is leading us, when He is speaking to us, and we know it is the Holy Spirit, we know that He is convicting us, we know that He is showing us the way, He asks of us something, that we're always willing to do that. In Acts chapter 5, verse 32, we read, "And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." The apostles stood before a crowd and they said, "We are witnesses to those things concerning Christ and His resurrection. We have seen Him. We have spoken with Him. We met Him after He was resurrected. But not only we are witnesses, but the Holy Spirit who is in us is also the witness. And God has given Him to those who obey Him." Very important. So in order to receive the power, even in our time, the power of the Holy Spirit, pray and keep praying. And if necessary, have elders lay hands on you to receive the Holy Spirit and be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to God Himself. So when we do receive the power, is when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. First, we must be cleansed by Jesus' blood before we can be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Jesus' blood washes us clean from all unrighteousness. It is the work of the Holy Spirit from beginning to the end. But here it is. The Holy Spirit works. He gives conviction. He is not in us yet. He works and He convicts us of sin. And we bring the sins before Christ. He cleanses us with His blood from all unrighteousness. And then we become this cleansed vessel that needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to then come and dwell in our hearts. That's the will of God. So the question is, are you cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you saved? And you can say, well, you know, I'm justified and saved and I received everything in the same breath. Not necessarily. Don't be too rash to say that. Because it wasn't the case with the apostles. They didn't receive everything at once. They became filled with the Holy Spirit when the promises of God were fulfilled after they had been cleansed through the power of Jesus' blood. There are two areas to look at here. First is justification. Justification guarantees that the Holy Spirit is active in our lives. He works on us. He gives us convictions. He leads us. He protects us. But sanctification is it's a higher level. And the result of sanctification is that the Holy Spirit is in you. This is what Jesus promised His disciples when He was still with them. He says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, the Spirit of truth, He will be in you. And He will guide you into all truth." So we open ourselves to all truth of God's Word. And this desire to hear God's Word is so strong in us when we have the Holy Spirit. You know what the problem is if someone does not desire to hear the preaching of the Word of God? The problem is that they don't have the Holy Spirit. Even though they may confess to be Christians, but if you don't have a desire, a deep desire to hear the Word of God and be strengthened in your faith, that means that the Holy Spirit is not fully dwelling in you. You need to go on your knees and say, Lord, fill me with this power. But then also, there's a desire to love others. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit and with that power, you want to love others. Because the power of the Christian faith is love. That's the power. Increase in our knowledge and understanding of God, the fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and all those wonderful things. Those become manifestations in our spiritual lives. And then the Bible has more in us, more for us. As we become witnesses, the Bible says prophesying is one of them. And some people misunderstand this word prophesying. And actually, the original word prophesying is simply to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ with actions, deeds, and words. Proclaiming the truth of the gospel. Prophesying includes that we tell people, look, one day Jesus will come and he will judge the entire world. And he will take us individually to give an account for what we have done on this earth, whether it be good or bad. That is prophesying. That is looking into the future. Not measuring the times, now this will happen, now this will happen in Israel and all that. Jesus says that is not for you to know. That is up to the Father. What is good for you to know is that you become filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and become witnesses unto Him, to His glory, to His honor, and to save souls. The word says in Acts chapter 2, verse 18, I will in those days pour forth my spirit of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And that's what the apostles did. They prophesied. They preached. And the preaching of the word is that goes forth. And God has promised my word, I will watch over it, that it will not come back void. Our duty is to proclaim it. Acts chapter 11, verse 15 through 18. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon us at the beginning. Now, this was the house of Cornelius. Peter was telling this story. He said he began to speak. And Cornelius and his household, look, Cornelius, he had fasted 4 days. He lived a godly life. He did everything godly. He had come to the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the evangelism of Philip. And now it was time for him to receive the Holy Spirit together with his family. That's why Peter was called. And as Peter started speaking, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then it says, I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If God therefore gave to them the same gift as he gave to us, also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, read carefully here, after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in the way of God? And when they heard this, the disciples in Jerusalem, the apostles, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. That is the revival. The true revival of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wasn't just given to the apostles. It was also given to the Gentile believers. So speaking the word of God in boldness is one of the results of receiving this power. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, when they had prayed, the apostles, the first disciples, the first church, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. All fear was gone. They didn't care what people thought. They only thought what God wanted from them and in their lives. So the purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit is that we become witnesses for Jesus. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, not our own witnesses. Not our witness to a certain religion, a certain set of beliefs. No, witnesses for Christ himself. In John chapter 15, verse 26, when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. So what the Holy Spirit gives us is that we share that with others, with unbelievers, and we tell others what our experience is and what we know from our hearts. Don't be a witness if you're not 100% convinced. But then there's a practical aspect of it, being a witness. I want to read a short story. It's rather sad that this happens, and this shouldn't happen, but it does happen. Someone used to be a Christian, and he told of the reasons why he had lost faith in Christianity. He had been a young believer, and he talked about a day he concluded that Christianity wasn't true. He came to a point where he told himself Christianity isn't true. And here's what happened. He and a friend of his were riding their bicycles up a mountain road in a heavy downpour of rain. They decided to thumb a ride instead of risking the downhill run on a mountain road in the cold rain. And so instead of driving down this mountain road, they hitchhiked a ride. So a huge motorhome pulled up, and the driver asked them what the problem was. They told him of their situation, and he said he would like to help them, but he was going to church and didn't have the time. And later, a beat-up old station wagon with a Mexican family in it stopped and picked them up and drove them to their destination. Now, this, I would say, poor Christian, he obviously was not filled with the Holy Spirit. He thought, well, I can't be late for church and helping these guys come down this mountain road. I can't do that. Loved ones never even think that way. If we have an opportunity to help someone, it could be a make or break situation in their faith. So if you want to be witnesses, let's be true witnesses. The excuse he could have given if he is late for church, he could have said, look, I had an opportunity. The Lord just put these guys in my way and I just had to help them. I couldn't just leave them standing there in the middle of a rain. That is witnesses for the Lord. Jesus tells us where you are to be witnesses. First, he says you will be witnesses where you live, in Jerusalem. That's where the start was. Our Jerusalem is where we live. Be witnesses there. Be filled with the Holy Spirit at home, at work, at school, wherever we are filled with the Holy Spirit if he is in us. And then he says, then go out into all the world And the Holy Spirit takes away our fears and our feelings of inadequacy, our faults, and everything. If we sacrifice everything on his altar, he will use us. And it is my prayer that we become witnesses unto God's grace, unto Christ himself, unto others, and that we let our light shine in this world. May God help us to be true witnesses for him. Amen.